You're listening to The Record. I'm Jeannie Yandel in for Bill Radke. And we're at the end of 2017. The end of the year, of course, means end of the year roundup lists. Merriam-Webster Dictionary picked its word of the year, as it does every year. This year, it was feminism. Beginning with the Women's March, ending with the Me Too movement, are we looking at a year that will lead to meaningful change for women? Or are we looking at another media trend that will eventually fade away like the others? We'd love to know what you think. Give us a call at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-5869. And with me, Eula Bino, one third of the podcast, Hella Black, Hella Seattle. Hi, Eula.
Hello, hello.
So what do you think? Are we looking at meaningful change here or a media trend?
I think it's in between.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting when you say that, I go, oh man, I feel like my first thought is it's a media trend.
Yeah.
But then I want to have more hope and faith in the world. You know, I do feel like the way the country has like pushed us so aggressively towards ugly, people are reacting really positively towards love. And so I do think that like women are at the forefront of that and will create a lot of change. And I think that if we just stop looking for validation in it, we'll be fine. Like, I feel so bad for Hillary. Like, it sucked. But I feel like she also was like, I'm already great. And then she went on a hike. So if we just get more in line with that, we'll be fine.
I love that you're somewhere in the middle of this, of between. But
it sounds really good to make it the word of the year.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't know. What else? What have past words of the year been? Like, was Bootylicious one of the year's words?
That would be amazing, but I don't think that Merriam-Webster chose
it's
that.
In the dictionary, though.
Yeah. It is in the dictionary.
So, like, my point is people honor things when they honor things, but that doesn't mean it changes the history of it.
Yeah. Well, but we're also, I mean, you know, Time Magazine put the Silence Breakers on the, you know, the cover this year as the person of the year, right? Mostly women who, you know, talked about sexual harassment, right, sexual assault at work, although the woman who actually started Me Too was not on the cover. I mean, is that meaningful? Does that tell us? I'm asking you to predict, right? Does that mean
she doesn't need the validation from that, like, to, in order to, you know, she creates the Me Too movement saying, I too have gone through this trauma. I hope she doesn't need the validation from men, right? Right, probably, or white women saying like, yeah, you're so smart to create that term. She did it and it's done. It makes me think of, you know, that Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog song by Elvis Presley.
Yes.
And you know how everyone knows it was written by a black woman first? Like if you talk to black people, they're like, yeah, duh, it was like a song. It was a hit. It wasn't like a secret. So, you know, people will remix history and make it what they want to make it, but we'll always know the truth, which is good. Twitter keeps records.
Yeah. Thank you, Twitter. You're like society's archive, basically,
no, for real,
at this point.
For everything. I mean, you guys have the best receipts on Donald Trump. Because it's all his own words, his own sick words.
I want to get back to this idea of whether we're looking at meaningful change. What for you would have to happen for you to say, oh, gosh, OK, this is actually a thing?
Yeah. For feminism to be actually a thing?
Yes. For this to be meaningful change for women.
To not have Donald Trump be our president. I know that sounds really interesting, but I think about him as like the most predatorial character I've ever experienced in my life. And so as we are busy calling out all of these men, you know, I too have been gone through this trauma due to a man. And there are women speaking up against Trump too, which I think is fantastic. But he still sits in office without that being worthwhile of him being, you know, kicked out. So that would be that's a big dream.
High marker. Yeah, high marker.
Equal pay I'll take in the meantime.
Either we need to remove the president from office or women need to get equal pay.
Yeah.
One of those two.
We're shooting too high, right? Let's go way lower.
I would love equal pay to be
girls' baby clothes not being only in pink.
Okay.
Not too high still?
Well, As the mother of a daughter, I would love that. That would be amazing.
But like everything I'm saying, can we just do on our own without anybody else like making this change happen? Because like I don't know how to sew, but I know folks who do. Hence, we'll get baby clothes without, you know, pink requirements.
That's an excellent point. We could actually rely on our friends and neighbors for this stuff, is what we're saying here.
I think the biggest, you know, I was telling your producer earlier that remind me how to say your name.
Adjua
earlier, how I really feel like feminism is a great word. But for me, and what I feel closely tied to me this year was community. You know, I feel like that was like the biggest like takeaway for me. I feel like Seattle did this beautiful thing where our reaction to, you know, the bad in the world was to come together more and to talk more and to be together more and to ask, you know, hard questions and give hard answers. And not every interaction I had did that. But I feel like, you know, feminism was great, but so was, you know, community.
Mm-hmm. I like that as the word of the year.
Me too.
We're talking about whether the fact that feminism is the word of the year, the fact that Time Magazine put the Silence Breakers on the cover of their magazine. magazine whether this has been a watershed year for women, whether we're looking at meaningful change for women or whether we're looking at a media trend. We're wondering what you think. Give us a call, 206-543-5869. Again, that number is 206-543-5869. If, like Eula, you've got a couple of benchmarks for what you'd like to see before you're going to say, yes, we are on the precipice of some big, meaningful change for women, tell us about those benchmarks as well. 206-543-5869. 206-543-5869. And Eula, I just wanted to point out, we did find out what the 2016 word of the year is. It's surreal.
Okay.
Which seems appropriate.
Which is so cute.
Yes.
It's like how do you react? What has this whole year been about? 2016, Trump wins. It's surreal.
So
it was.
Well, I love the fact that I want to go back to what you said initially, that you were in between these two spots of meaningful change, just a media trend.
Yeah.
Initially, I thought you were firmly in the no camp.
Yeah.
No meaningful change.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, I think no meaningful change, right? But on the other hand, I'm really proud of how many men have lost positions of power because of these women speaking out, right? So I don't know if that's feminism necessarily, or it's, you know, I don't know what word it is, but to me, it doesn't feel like feminism. Feminism to me feels like uniting around, you know, causes for women to become better, you know, like, or to be more recognized and be like equal pay would be like the, like a real answer for that. To me, the way we're calling men out is justice. Yeah, more justice, I think, because, yeah, these men deserve that.
Well, I want to, what does justice look like for you? Because just as you sort of described what feminism looks like for you, I think justice can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So what does it look like for you, do you think?
The fair card. You know, it's interesting. When I was growing up, I always said, you know, I love the idea of fairness. You know, and kids really get fair. Because if you explain to them, you know, here are two apples and I'm going to give Donald 99% of the two apples and you get 1%. You're going to look at this and be like, that's not fair. And that's a really great concept. And to me, justice looks like what we all know to be fair and equal.
Hmm.
You know, I look back on this year and one of my highlights, and it's going away a little bit away from feminism, but is how in that jury trial for, is it Walter Scott, how the cop got jail time?
Mm-hmm.
That was the most fair thing that happened in such a long time for people of color. And we didn't really talk about it. But like, that's what I would love to be a word of the year, justice and fair one time. But yeah, those white men deserved it. So get them all fired in a way.
We're talking about whether the fact that feminism is the 2017 word of the year, the fact that we've seen the Me Too movement bring forth all these stories of sexual misconduct at work, whether that means that we're looking at some real changes for women or whether we're looking at a media trend here. We'd love to hear from you. 206-543-5869. Pam is calling from First Hill. Pam, what do you think about this?
To be successful and for us to get what I call beyond the Neanderthal stage is for the men to break their man code.
Okay, you need to tell me what that means. That's interesting.
It's the code that they have that has kept them from telling on each other when they know bad things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay.
If you want to know more about it, Terry Crews, the actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love
Terry
Crews.
He has written a book called Manhood, and he talks about it in there. And it's what's allowed the fellas to get away with so much evil for so long. And if the guys want a better world, they're going to have to work at it instead of hiding the bad stuff.
So we've seen, that's a good point. We've seen Terry Crews speak out about what happened to him. I haven't personally seen many men come forward and say, I've seen this, I'm going to speak up the next time, this is how I'm going to be a better ally. There's been no sort of corresponding men's movement along with Me Too. There's no hashtag for men. So, what do you think it would mean if we started seeing something like that, Pam?
Well, I think in order to encourage them to do that, they need to understand the seriousness of allowing this evil to continue. For example, what's happening to the oceans, our atmosphere, constant war, you know, it has a ripple effect, and the world really can be better. There, for example, in Rwanda right now, women are being treated with a lot more respect because when the genocide was going on, the sons saw how much better the mothers were handling the situations that were happening as opposed to the fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to be emotionally stronger in crises situations and have better values at how to handle things than to be, you know, to want to fight and find out who's the toughest guy kind of a attitude.
Pam, thank you so much for that phone call, that idea of breaking the man code. That's something to move forward with and think about. I'm curious to know what you think as well. If you think 2017 is the beginning of meaningful change for women, what would need to happen for you to think 2017, something happened and it's still moving forward? This isn't just a media trend we're seeing here. 206-543-5869. Again, that number is 206-543-5869. I'm talking with Eula Bino. She's one third of the podcast, Hella Black, Hella Seattle. Mm-hmm. You're also a doula. Yeah. You're a mother. You ID yourself on Twitter as a full-time Black woman.
I do it all day.
You do all the things all day. Yeah. Why was it important to call all of those things out?
Because they're all different levels of who I am. You know, I really identify as a Seattleite. I very much identify as a woman. I am a woman. I'm a person of color. And, you know, it's interesting how we all wear this on our skin, and it's so much a forefront of who we are, but it's sometimes easier to call it out, too. I don't ever want, you know, I know nobody gets confused through an email because my name is Eula, and I think it sounds like it could be Black, but I want people to know on top of it. I'm confident in that. I'm confident in being a Black woman. And I'll show up and be a Black person when I get there, too. Don't think you're invited someone else.
Well, I feel like...
No, because that can happen. You know, where people invite someone and they hope that you won't speak on who you are. They hope that you'll hide parts of yourself, you know, in the office or in the boardroom, and you'll just show up at just a level of, like, you know, the part that they want to invite in. But all of me shows up to all of my experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about in terms of who shows up where and who you get to be in which place. I mean, I feel like we saw that play out a little bit on a national level in terms of how many white women voted for Donald Trump, how many white women voted for the Alabama GOP candidate Roy Moore versus how many Black women voted for Roy Moore. I mean, what do you think those kinds of divisions are telling us about what's happening, especially as we're looking at words like feminism, as we're looking at words like, you know, Me Too, as though we're all sort of moving forward together?
Well, there are a lot of people out there who think of feminism as a really ugly, terrible word. And those people, a lot of people are women. You know, I always think back to this story. If you guys have a chance, please listen to this podcast called Making Oprah. I don't know.
I love that podcast.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember the part when Oprah is talking about how she brings a woman in, she's talking about self. The woman asks the crowd, what priority are you on your own priority list? And then, you know, people give answers and the woman says, well, you should be number one. And the crowd booed her. Can you believe that?
The crowd booed her
because what they were saying was, I'm not supposed to come first as a woman. I'm supposed to put my children first, my husband first. I'm supposed to be the backbone of my home versus the face of it. And I think a lot of people in all these places where people have moved away, and the ones who were, I hate thinking how so many smart people have moved to Seattle, you know, LA, New York, Chicago, you know, parts of, you know, Atlanta, I imagine. But they just left all these other small towns with all these dummies. And I know that sounds terrible, but they just left us, or they left them. And so now they've been able to really, you know, hone and create a society that really puts women down from the very beginning. And they think little of themselves for so long that when they finally have the power to vote in their own favor, they think, but my husband, but my son, but, you know, everyone else tells me I'm supposed to do this. So they fall right in line.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot more questions for you, Eula, but I wanted to ask, as we look forward to this next year, I think I have an idea of how you're going to answer this question, but where are you going to be looking for hope? Where are you going to be looking for signs that, you know what, there is some meaningful change actually happening here?
So more in my community, right? I'm going to be looking for my community to show up and invite me into spaces that are filling and fulfilling. But also, I'm going to be looking to men. Which I know my mind sounds silly, but I have a new son. I had a baby named Livingston, and he is 3 months old. And it's been interesting to have to change my lens from, you know, women are strong, men are, and to I have a man that I'm going to be raising myself. And how am I going to create him into being someone who takes off that man coat, speaks up for other men, speaks up for women? And I, you know, and I hold him account. I'm going to make sure I hold him accountable. That's one of my fears of what happened in 2017. In 2016, people got fired a lot for saying the wrong thing about racial, you know, along racial lines. Now people are being fired for the wrong they do to women, but there's not a lot of conversation and accountability and trainings that go around it. So I'm hoping that the future brings us, you know, more community and more conversations about what we need to actually see to implement change around feminism, sexism, racism, that kind of thing.
That idea of accountability is really intriguing. And I wonder what that, again, what that looks like for you, especially as you've talked about these other really kind of wonderful words, these positive ideas of community, of love. I mean, what does loving accountability look like?
I mean, if a man does terrible things to a woman, and I mean, when I say terrible, I think not all the way as far as rape, right? Because that's not a lot of what the men are being accused of, but just really unjust acts that are vulgar and, you know, and inappropriate. What that would look like to me is a conversation with that woman that really breaks down, these are all the levels of what really upset me. And then another woman coming in and saying, you know, so this is what we need to do. And then a man coming in and saying, I used to think how you thought, and now I think so much better because of these things that I've learned, and I'm happier, and I've gained. You know, we gain so much from seeing each other.
We have one final call before we wrap this segment up. Amy calling from Seattle. Hi.
Hi.
So what do you think about 2017? Have we seen a year of real change?
Well, I don't know if it's real change yet. I mean, there's certainly been a lot of things exposed that should be. And I think Trump's election is certainly, you know, in one way, it's like kind of busting a pimple. You know, everything is coming, all the pus is coming out to the surface. But I'm sorry, that isn't what I called to say. I was just going to say, the whole Me Too movement, I'm 54, and, you know, I don't know anyone my age who hasn't gone through a lot of this, you know, kind of harassment and stuff. And I think it's been great that these guys have been outed, especially the ones in power. I would really like to see more of the men in Congress who are, you know, protected being outed. But I think what we really need, apart from my, I mean, it's like I want to get mad, you know, about the, I mean, I want to get justice.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Rwanda earlier, and I thought about South Africa too, and the Truth and Reconciliation commissions that they had. And I think one of the problems, the biggest problem is that we're not talking to each other.
Huh. Yes.
And so men I know feel like this is all an attack on all men, so how do they get to the conversation? And I've also heard that, you know, from some of my white friends about the Black Lives Matter movement, of saying, you know, they feel like they can't do anything right because they are white, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to listen to each other a lot more, but some kind of truth and reconciliation thing where, you know, women and men sit down together in public forums and actually, you know, talk about these events.
Amy, that's an amazing idea.
It would take a lot of courage on a guy's part to do that. But maybe we would get further along.
Amy, thank you so much for that phone call and that idea. A Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I like that a lot. And Eula Bino from Hella Black, Hella Seattle, doula, podcaster, new mom.
Yes, too good.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It was great to talk with you, and we'll bring you back again. I'd love to talk with you some more.
I'm down.
This is The Record from KUOW.